It is not the same eating and dining, having dinner. It is not the same food and a banquet. The difference is that having food is just fulfilling a natural need we all have. We need food to survive, to go ahead, to keep moving, to keep alive. On the other hand, to have a banquet is to have the opportunity of sharing not only food, but pleasant time, usually with friends or relations. A banquet is a special time for celebration. It's not only a matter of fulfilling a natural need. It is not a matter of nourishment, nurture. It's a matter of sharing and being glad with others. We all are invited to the banquet the Lord has prepared. This is especially visible in the Holy Eucharist. And I highlight how much true this text continues to be nowadays. The Lord is inviting us to hear His Word. He's inviting everybody to come and to receive the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ Himself. And as you can see around, many people are not interested. They don't care. It happened in the times of Jesus. It happens in our time. They were not interested. One went off to his farm, another to his business. In that sense, it is all the same nowadays. We are too busy for God. But the banquet is ready, and it is a nourishing, delicious banquet. We get the best food because it's not only prepared to keep us alive, but to give eternal life, which is not the same. Natural food only postpones death. Spiritual food, Jesus Christ, food of the soul, is not only postponing, but beating, conquering death. The food we get in every sharing, in every participation of this heavenly banquet, of this Holy Eucharist, is eternal life for us. It's not only postponing, pushing forward the moment of death, is conquering death. That's the sort of food we receive. Not everybody is interested, because the people in this text, in this gospel, they were happy with their farms and business. And this is important, because it shows that we need some degree of hunger to get interested in God. Without some need, without some questions or sickness or problems or loneliness, without that, we barely think of God. We need some need to think of God. Probably, it ought not to be that way, but it is that way. We need to get our thought focused in God. And these people in the gospel, they were happy with their farms and with their business. In some sense, it is great providence when we are not completely fulfilled in this world. When we get completely fulfilled in this world, we are not interested. We have no interest at all in God's proposal. And finally, my friends, a word about this character at the end of the gospel today. This was a man without the wedding garment. The invitation, the final invitation, was for everybody. The gospel says, bad and good alike. Everybody is invited. And that's what you could see in the temples, in the churches. Many people who would be rejected in other places are welcome in the churches. Now I have a little more than 2 years in St. Saviour's, in this parish church. And I have noted all sort of different characters coming into the church. Some very weird people. Beggars, for example. Homeless. Some of them with mental problems. You can tell just seeing them. And probably that's not comfortable for people coming to the church, to see that there are weird, dirty-looking people around. But we could pride ourselves. They can be in the church because they are not rejected here. There is a place for them here. There is a place for the elderly person, for the lonely person, for the beggar. There is a place for all of them in the house of the Lord. Bad and good alike. That's the invitation. But when the wedding banquet begins, when the final time comes, we all need the wedding garment. There is no perfect agreement about the preachers and doctors of the church regarding this point. What could mean the wedding garment? What's that? What was in Jesus' mind when he said this? We don't know for sure. But there are several interpretations. Some say this is related to faith. We come from very different backgrounds. Poor people, rich people, clever people, not so clever people. But we all need the wedding garment, and the wedding garment, some say, is faith. Absolute, complete trust in God's mercy, in God's salvation. There is another interpretation, also very beautiful. In the last book of the Bible, the Apocalypse, we read that the martyrs had washed up their garments in the blood of the Lamb. They were completely covered and renewed in the healthy bath of the Lamb, of the Lamb's blood. In that sense, the wedding garment is to receive this wonderful shower of mercy, this bath of grace that is the Lamb, that is the Lamb's blood, I mean. And to have the wedding garment is to be enclosed, to be dressed in absolute confidence that only through Jesus Christ through His sacrifice on the cross, we can share the gladness, the joy of the banquet. Whatever the right interpretation could be, it is meaningful. And we all ask the Lord that we get the wedding garment and we share with so many different brothers and sisters the joy of His grace and mercy.